اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبارئ الخلائق أجمعين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فأعرض عمن تولى عن ذكرنا ولم يرد إلا الحياة الدنيا ذلك مبلغهم من العلم. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل
محمد. Do you love flowers? If someone comes and gifts you a very beautiful bunch of flowers, it's amazing look, it's amazing smell. I'm sure every one of us would love it. And if you would see this flower turning pale, every person would feel bad for it. A fresh flower, after some time, starts turning pale. It loses its moisture and that freshness. And how would you feel if someone snatched that flower from your hands and put it under his feet and trampled that flower? And you see the petals coming out and shattered, they lie on the ground. I'm sure it's not something which you are going to like. The children which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us, so those of who have been blessed with children, our children are like flowers. And I'm sure that no parent, no mother, no father would be happy if this flower turns pale. And I'm sure that the last thing a parent would want to do is give this flower to someone who doesn't care and is going to trample this flower under his feet. And this we have in our narrations, that children are like flowers, especially the daughters. We have many narrations that describe how beautiful it is for a person to have a daughter. So this narration from Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. He says, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi idha bushira bil jariya." Whenever news of birth of a girl would be given to the Holy Prophet, he would be informed that such and such a person was blessed with a daughter, this is what he would say. And he would do this repeatedly. Kana Rasulullah. What would he say? Raihana. Allah has blessed this person with a flower. Wa rizquha 'ala Allahi azza wa jal. So you know, in those days, people used to fear that if we have daughters, it's going to be a financial burden on us. Rasulullah is reminding them, Allah has given you a flower, beautiful, and don't worry about its risk. Allah is there, He's going to provide the sustenance of this child. So we, I am a parent as well. I'm a father. We need to protect our children from the negative influence of the media. And believe me, the amount of negative influence this media brings is sometimes difficult to judge. Why? Because the influence is very subtle. We may not be able to detect how it is affecting us, but it is affecting us. So the parents need to be very careful about their children, as to what their children are watching, what their children are going through. They need to be careful. And the amazing thing about this media is that it's going to sell you misguidance. This is the amazing thing. It's going to take money from you to give you things which are harmful for you. And this is the amazing thing. Let me give you an example. There's a very famous movie. I'm not going to take the name. Why? Because I don't want to even take the names of movies here and even to this extent promote them, some of them. So there is this very famous movie which has combined Shahwat and Ghadab together in its highest form. It's a movie that provokes the desires to the highest extent, and it's filled with violence and graphic scenes. I won't take the name. It's very famous. This movie was made with a budget of $9 million. So they are spending money. But they are very smart. They spent $9 million to make this movie. How much did they earn? How much did they earn? $200 million. Amazing. That's a profit of, you're faster than me in maths and calculations, you're business people. So that's a profit of $191 million from one movie. What are they showing in that movie? A lot of desires, a lot of violence. So this is how media works today. What it does is that, and I mentioned this yesterday, that it changes the values. It changes, it turns things upside down. You must have heard this narration from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So he says, a time will come when ma'aruf will become munkar and munkar will become ma'aruf. Values will turn upside down. Things which are not so good, not so healthy for the society and for the people, they will be normalized for us. Take the example of the same shahwat and desire that I have been discussing, how normalized it has become. How insensitive they have been successful in making people when it comes to this desire. You go and look in your city, around the world, the posters, the hoardings, what you see on the TV, internet, social media, they bombard you with so many things that slowly we lose our values. An anti-value becomes a very normal and regular thing. No one feels surprised about it. Yes, I'm not saying, and I'm repeating this because I'm trying to avoid misunderstandings. I'm not saying that everything that comes from the West is bad. I'm not saying that. No civilization can reach the position of a dominant civilization without having certain good things in it. It's not possible. Always haq is mixed with batil and then it comes in front of you. Otherwise, pure batil, no one is going to accept. People will say, this is batil. I can figure it out. People get confused when these two things are mixed. What I'm trying to say is, we just need to be careful. We need to filter it out, what we are getting from the media. We need to be careful. Especially when these things are coming from a civilization that has turned its back on religion. We know this. We know that the Western civilization, and they even say it, it's not a hidden thing. They themselves say it, that we have confined the religion to the churches. We don't need religion. So a civilization which has turned its back on religion, it has turned its back on divine revelation, it's thinking in a different manner, it has different goals than our goals, and it has limited itself to the five senses and what they call as rationality, we need to be extra careful as to what things are coming from there. Let me translate the verses I recited in the beginning. Surah An-Najm, verse number 29 and 30. So these verses very aptly describe this dominant civilization that we have today, which we refer to as using different words. The word is not important. So the Holy Quran is telling the Holy Prophet, فَأَعْرِضْ أَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى أَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. Very beautiful description. How well it fits our modern times today. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Holy Prophet, فَأَعْرِضْ, turn away. From who? From the person tawalla an dhikrina, who has turned his back to my remembrance, who has turned his back to remembrance of Allah, who has turned it back to religion. Walam yurid illa al-hayatud dunya. And this person, this civilization, only wants material things, hayatud dunya. ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ. That's the level of their knowledge. Their knowledge doesn't go beyond the material. They deny the metaphysical. That's their limit. And then the Holy Quran says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ ظَلَّ أَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ اِحْتَدَى. So the only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly knows who is rightly guided and who is strayed away from the right path. So the parents, including myself, we have a duty. And I want to talk about our duty when it comes to this desire and this issue of controlling eyes and making sure that our children do not see those things which they are not supposed to see. It's a very important matter. So what do we do? Do we tell them that no, you're not supposed to use this at all? Well, that's not going to work. But we can delay it. You don't need to buy an iPad or a smartphone so quickly for your children. It's not needed. So now what has happened is that when you ask someone what are the basic needs of a human being, they say four: food, housing, shelter, iPad. Well, that's not the case. It's not one of our fundamental needs. So what we can do, so I'm mentioning practical points for the parents. Point number one, try and delay it. Don't give these gadgets so easily. You can manage it and delay it to a certain age. I'm not going to fix a number, but I'm going to tell you something interesting, and that is this. All of you have heard the name of Bill Gates, I'm sure. Of course, I'm not taking his name because we consider him a role model or something. Yes, he's a successful business person. And I'm not talking about this person himself. I'm just trying to tell you, Bill Gates, who is the head of the biggest technological company, Microsoft, he did not allow his children to use these gadgets until the age of 14. Go and check it up on the internet. It's a whole topic that even these people who are designing this technology, they're limiting access. We can delay it. Steve Jobs, Again, I don't like to take these names so much. I'm giving these examples. Okay, you all know who Steve Jobs was. The head of Apple, who took Apple to where it is today. He would limit the time of his children on these gadgets. He would set fixed times, not more than this. Of course, up till a certain age. So this is something which we definitely need to learn. So point number one, delay it. Point number two, limit the access. It's not something which the children need to use for the entire day. You can limit the time. Third thing, engross your children in more productive activities. Fill their time. Don't let them have free time. Put some activities, something productive. And all of this needs planning and attention. It's not going to happen automatically. If you leave the children, they're going to come to this. Why? Because they have made things in it which are interesting for the children. I told you, it appeals to their imagination. And the last thing is that make sure that you bring up, and I say this to myself, I should make sure that I bring up my children not as a lazy person who's used to the comforts and luxuries of the material life, and when he grows up he's good for nothing. No, teach them hard work from right very early age. Don't let them grow up in extreme comfort. I know many people in this community have lot of money, lot of comforts. As soon as the child wakes up from the bed, he doesn't even have to fold his blanket. He doesn't even learn to fold his blanket. Why? Because the dadas are waiting outside the door, that as soon as this boy, he wakes up, or the girl wakes up, leaves the room, the dadas are going to come and fold the blanket and everything is going to be spick and span. No, at least folding the blanket, taking care of your own things. Discipline, hard work, teach them that you need to work hard in life to achieve something, even for the dunya and even for the akhirah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Let me complete this topic which I started. I don't want to make it very heavy and I don't want to treat too much into the danger zone. So this desire has to be controlled. And if a person, and especially the youth, if they manage to control this desire, then a lot of the doors will open for them. Why? Because I mentioned yesterday that door to the heart is our eyes. So I say this to my youth especially, and to everyone, that if you want peace of mind, if you want emotional stability, if you want stability in your life, if you don't want to mess up with your psyche and your mind, you have to control your eyes. Why do I say that? I'm going to read 5 narrations for you and translate them. There were 40, I chose 5. Okay, so you should thank me that I have reduced your burden. 5 narrations and their translation. Narration number 1. Man ghadda tarfahu araha kalba. One who controls his eyes, he has relieved his heart. He is at peace. Why? You know better. That his mind is not occupied. If a person sees the wrong thing, it occupies his mind. You're killing your peace of mind, your peace of your heart. Don't do that. Narration number 2. فَإِنَّ الْبَصَرَ لَا يُغَضُّ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ سَبَكَ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ مُشَاهِدَةُ الْأَظْمَةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. These are strange narrations. This narration is saying that if a person controls his eyes and doesn't look at haram things, he'll be able to see the azamat and jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amazing. Third narration. And this is very interesting. This is from Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. So he says, "Guddu absarakum tarawna al-ajaib." Control your eyes, you'll see the ajaib. You'll see amazing things which you would otherwise will not be able to see. Narration number 4, man atlaka nadhirahu at'aba hadhirahu. One who completely leaves his eyes free, no control, watches everything, halal, haram, doesn't make a difference. He has made his psyche, his mind tired. He's tiring his mind. He's putting pressure, emotional stress on himself. Last narration. Man radda tarfahu kalla asafahu wa amina talafu. One who controls his eyes, his regret reduces and he saves himself from talaf, from destruction. So what I'm trying to say is that forget about others. If you want peace yourself, if I want peace myself, I need to control my eyes. How? Again, a few points quickly and I need to move on. I'm going through a very dangerous territory. I need to get out of the dangerous zone and come back to the normal stuff. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Okay. Point number one. Limit your time on social media. We can't afford to spend a lot of time on social media. It's not our need. Yes, use it to the extent you need. The rest, you have your life. There are so many things that you need to do. How much time you want to spend on this? And by the way, there is a lot of research done by social scientists in the West with extensive reports and statistics about the ill effects of excessive use of internet and excessive screen time. I don't have time to go into the details. And forget about the effects which the Islamic psychology says that these things have on the soul. I cannot go into the details, I cannot present the statistics. Why? Because it's not my topic right now. And those of you who were present in Salatul Jum'ah, I said there that you can't get everything for free. For some things you need to invite me for dinner and then we'll speak about it. Can't say everything here. There's a price to be paid for everything. So you nicely invite me for dinner, we eat together, not in these ayam. Later on, we eat, then we sit nicely, there is time, now we start discussing these topics. There's price. First thing, limit your time. Second thing, I know it's not complete, it's not possible to completely avoid these things. Why? Because they are not in your control. You will need to use internet for your needs. You will go out on the street and things that go on the street are not in your control. But you can use smart ways to stop yourself from being harmed. Okay, I'm making it very specific to just show that there are ways out. It's not a dead end. We just need to be a bit clever, a bit smart. There are ways of managing this thing. Okay, you know that you're going to go on a website to download something and it's filled with ads and you don't know which ad is going to pop up. Avoid it. Don't go to that site. If you can't avoid it, use an ad blocker. And now you know technology better than me, that there are these things that block the ads. Just get rid of them. They just keep popping without you wanting them. On social media, for Allah's sake, don't fall like a pack of dominoes. Some people are like this. They just need a flick. They just need to open one page and from one page, another, from another page, another, from another. Wait, where are you going? Wait, stop. See what you need to see. Don't follow the trail. It will lead you to places where you don't want to be. If you are watching a movie and you know that a part is going to come which it is not appropriate to watch, forward it quickly before it starts. Forward it like 10 minutes. Oh, I'll miss some important dialogues. Doesn't matter, who cares? It's a movie. I mean, you just watch, you enjoy. Forward that part. Now here some people are smart. They're trying to act smart. What they do, they unfortunately, they watch a part of that inappropriate scene, they say, oh, astaghfirullah, forward it. Very smart. Who are you trying to fool? Are you trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you trying to fool the people around you? And trying to show that, oh, it just happened by mistake? No. You knew that it's not appropriate, the things are coming. Forward it. Go. It's not a very good thing to do to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? It doesn't work. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. You can't fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't fool the believers. If you try to do that, if I try to do that, I'm fooling myself. Without even knowing. وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ. If by mistake, inadvertently, if my eyes falls on something which I'm not supposed to see, immediately should turn my eye, look somewhere else. You may wonder, where am I bringing these things from my pocket and telling you, do this. No, it's not from me. Listen to this narration from our sixth Imam, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. So he says, awwalu nadratin lak. Your first sight which falls on something without your control, luck, it's fine, it's not going to harm you. You didn't expect this to happen, suddenly something came which you're not supposed to see. Awwalu nadratin lak. Wa thaniyatu alayk wa la lak. Don't continue watching, turn your eyes to somewhere else, look in the sky. Look down, I don't know, look somewhere else. Why? Because the second look is not to your benefit. وَالثَّانِيَةُ عَلَيْكُ وَلَا لَكُ. And then the Imam says, should I read it? وَالثَّالِثَةُ فِيهَا الْحَلَاكُ. And if someone continues this and it reaches a third look, which means continuously a person is watching, I'm sorry, you're destroying your heart. الثَّالِثَةُ فِيهَا الْحَلَاكُ. So this is a command that we have in the Holy Quran addressed both to the men and women as to how we should control our eyes. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men that they should cast down their glances, look down. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. And the same thing applies to the woman, that when it comes to looking at haram, things which are not supposed to be seen, one should cast down one's look. صَلُّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلِ مُحَمَّدُ. And the last thing, before I come out of this danger zone, touching sensitive topics. And the last thing, especially for the youth, and again, we have many narrations. I don't have time to go into details and read each and every narration. The last thing which the Ahlul Bayt alayhimu salam have told us is avoid unnecessary interaction with the opposite gender. It's as simple as that. Why? Because right now we are in the prevention mode. If you want to prevent yourself from a lot of troubles, a lot of emotional anxiety, a lot of psychological stress, this is the way, prevention. Avoid unnecessary interaction. Yes, Islam doesn't say completely cut off. When you need, you can speak in a respectable manner, in a modest manner. But when there's not needed, it's not needed. And I censor. It's playing with fire. It's something which we cannot afford to do. Okay, now someone might come and say, not from amongst you, someone from outside might come and say, oh, look at this Maulana. He's telling us impractical, difficult things. We are living in the modern age. It's not possible to follow these things in the modern age. He wants us to take back to the stone age. He wants us to take us back to age 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Modern times, these things don't work. It's a question that may occur in somebody's mind. So the answer is very simple. I'm trying to answer these few questions, and inshallah, we'll move on towards the Messiah. I still have a bit of time. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I'm sure you have heard the name of Pythagoras. And there's a famous theorem in mathematics attributed to Pythagoras named Pythagoras theorem. Okay. I know many people don't like mathematics, and till today I don't understand why. It's a very interesting subject. But so this theorem says, okay, I don't want to mention mathematics here, I'm just using this as an example. So if you have a right angle triangle, and if you name the two sides as A and B, and the longer side as C, A square plus B square is equal to C square. It's a very simple thing. Okay, you don't, by the way, don't worry if you don't know what this theorem means. It's not something which Munkir and Nakir I'm going to ask you. Okay, if you don't know what Pythagoras theorem means, it's not a big loss. It's not going to affect you hereafter. Okay. So A square plus B square is equal to C square. Let me ask you this question. When did Pythagoras live? He's a Greek mathematician. Oh, the ancient Greece. By telling me this theorem today in the modern world, you want to take me back 2,000 years ago. You want to take me back to the Stone Age. No. It doesn't matter when Pythagoras discovered this relationship. If he has proof for it, it's relevant even today. It doesn't matter if times have changed. In the same manner, if the solutions of Islam, which the Islam is presenting, which the Ahlul Bayt are presenting, if they have a logical basis, they are there to avoid a lot of problems. It doesn't matter which age it is. It doesn't matter. It's like a formula. That if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. If you leave, man atlaka basarahu, it's a formula. It doesn't matter which age it is, it's going to apply. If someone leaves his eyes open, no control, there are consequences in the world and in the hereafter. Answer to question number two. These solutions are impractical, very difficult. We can't implement them in this modern world. The answer is no. It's not the case. I want to mention a story here right now, and inshallah I'll end. So I'm giving the good news that the end is near. And the second good news that I'm mentioning a story. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali. So it's a real story, it's a real incident of a lady by the name, I'm going to even mention the name, a lady by the name Niloufar Shad Mehri from Iran. She has written a book which recently became very famous in Iran. It's named Khatirat-e-Safir, which is translated as Memoirs of an Ambassador. Okay, what does it mean? So let me tell you something from, okay. So this woman who 10 years ago was a young girl, she goes to France to study industrial design. Okay, So it's a field of studies in engineering called industrial design. She goes to France to study, and this book is a collection of her different things that happened to her during her stay in France. I'm just mentioning this to tell everyone here, especially the youth and especially the sisters who are listening to my voice, that it is easy to take care of these limits even in today's modern world. Just very briefly. So this young woman in her 20s, her age was when she went to France, she is 20-something, 21, 22. She's going there alone. So a young girl, inexperienced, doesn't know much of how to deal with different things. She's going there. And now she has to face different challenges of the modern world there. And you all know that France is one of the most materialistic societies in different ways. In the Western civilization, France is in some areas more materialistic than others. She goes there, but she has three things in her which save her. And she does amazing things there. A bit of smartness, a bit of courage, and a bit of strength of iman. So you just need these three things to manage everything. Okay. She selected to do this course in one of the top most universities in France, in Paris. These are these government universities, the top in France, that start with the name Ecole, E-C-O-L-E. You can go and search on the internet. She's selected there. She's very happy. The best place to study in France. She goes. Okay, she's been communicating with her instructor who's going to lead her and guide her thesis. Is a French lady. She's very happy. First day, she goes to meet her professor. Very happy. She's thinking about this, that if she asks me about the topic I want to write my thesis on, I'll tell this, and she's very excited. She goes there and meets this French lady and says that I am this person. The French lady looks at her from top to bottom. Why? Because she's in complete full hijab, the Iranian hijab. So you are the person I have been communicating on the email. She says, yes, I am that person. She says, wait. She calls her PA, personal assistant, who's an Algerian. Algerian who's in France. You know the connection between Algeria and France. So this Algerian man comes and nicely extends his hand to shake hand with this lady. She pulls back her hand and apologizes and says that, sorry, I can't shake hand with you. My religion doesn't allow. So that man is a bit, he's a Muslim. That man is a Muslim, but again, his values have changed. Now for him, this is not seen as a bad thing. He's extending his hand. This lady apologizes very nicely. Okay, so even he's a bit concerned. So now these two, they tell this girl that go out for a while. We need to discuss something. She said, okay, she goes out. They discuss something for a short while. Then the PA tells him that go inside. She goes inside. This lady, this French lady, tells this woman in full hijab, who just refused to shake hand with a man, she tells him that, I'm sorry, as long as you're wearing this, I can't be your instructor. I can't. So it's a shock for this young girl who's come with so much hope and so much expectations, the best college in France. But look, she was a bit smart, a bit of courage, and a bit of strong iman. She said to herself, and she said to the lady, doesn't matter. These are my principles, these are my beliefs, I don't care. She says this, she leaves the room, and she's going back to the place where she was staying. When she's going back, she writes in her memoirs that I started feeling bad, naturally. That now I can't study here. Then she says that I told this to myself, that if I truly believe in what I believe, my religion, then I shouldn't be feeling bad. I did the right thing. And if I'm really feeling bad, then all these years I have been lying to myself that I'm a true believer. So she says, it doesn't matter, just leave it. She leaves this college, she gets admission in one of the second level colleges in Paris, away from Paris, a few kilometers away from. She misses this opportunity, but she protects her religion just with a bit of smartness. One more story about this lady and I'll end. And it's a real story. And it's not a story that happened 50 years ago, no, 2005. Okay, so our own times. Now she goes to her new college, okay, and now, as is a custom there, that you're introduced to the whole department in which you're going to study, which is a nice thing. So someone takes you and makes you meet different people that are working in your department. This is your teacher, this is this person, this is this person. And now, here comes a problem. The problem is that most of them are men and I'll be asked to shake hands with them. What do I do? So now see, she values her iman, she values her religion, and she's a bit smart and she has a bit of courage. What she does is this. She's not fluent in French. So what she does, she writes on a piece of paper a few sentences which say, I am very sorry. My religion does not allow me to shake hand with men. I mean no offense. Please forgive me. She writes this on a piece of paper and she memorizes these words before this is going to happen. Why? Because she knows this is going to come. I need to save my religion. I need to protect myself. I need to protect my heart and my iman. She memorizes and she has a bit of courage. Every single time she's introduced to a man, she doesn't shake hand. She puts her hand here as a sign of respect and just like a parrot repeats this passage. Just like a parrot quickly repeats this passage, they understand. And something funny even happens. When she does this, so she says this to two people and the third one in the line is a woman. So even she takes back her hand thinking that she can't shake hand even with the woman. So now she tells this woman that no, I can shake hand with woman, that's not a problem. So she shakes hand with the woman. Now the problem is that the next person who's a man, he misunderstands and he thinks that now this woman is going back on what she did and she wants to shake hands now. So he extends the hand again. Now what she does, repeat like a parrot. And when all this thing happens, as she's leaving the room, these people are discussing, oh, how complicated it was. We didn't understand what happened. A very smart way of dealing with things. As they say, where there is will, there is a way. If there is the will, and if there is that concern, that even in these things, which a person may think, oh, it doesn't matter, let me shake hands, no. One haram, 100 haram is same value. It's disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't work like that. So I mentioned this story to show that it's not so difficult as one may think. A bit of smartness, a bit of courage, and a bit of strong iman is enough to easily sail through these difficulties, and Allah pays back. And something very interesting happens to this lady. What happens? And this, when I read this, I was surprised. It shocked me. So what happens is that after 6-7 months of studies, remember, she refused to study in that best institution for the sake of her hijab. After 6-7 months, this whole college, its level is raised and it becomes one of those Ecole colleges. So she refused to study there. Now, and I say this from my side, Allah decided that I'm going to turn the things the other way around. If that Ecole is going to refuse to accept her, I'm going to make this whole college one of the Ecoles. This how it is. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Okay. So let me end by saying and going back to the original question I posed. What does Imam al-Hussein want from me today? Answer number 3, change and reform. Answer number 1, he wants to take me on a journey of Tawheed. Answer number 2, in order to do that, I need to give my heart to him. How do I give my heart to him? By changing slightly. By trying to change myself, by trying to readjust my lifestyle and trying to get closer to the lifestyle of Hussein. Which means that we come out of our comfort zone slightly. Okay, then this is something, inshallah, which I'll discuss tomorrow. That we all have comfort zones. Okay, we have all made for ourselves and acquired for ourselves a certain lifestyle in which we are very comfortable. But the problem is, some of these comfort zones are indeed danger zones. So there is a danger zone, I have turned that into a comfort zone for myself. And that is not a good thing to do. So in the coming days, with your permission and with an apology right from now, I am going to touch on some of these topics which will take us all out of our comfort zones with the aim of choosing a better lifestyle, changing to go to something which is better and which is more right. I want to mention one example and I'll end. Just to show that sometimes in our lives we might acquire a comfort zone, we are very comfortable with that thing, but that's very dangerous. They give example of pigeons. Okay. So it is said, okay, I haven't checked scientifically, but I'm using this as an example. It is said that pigeons have a very strange and funny comfort zone. Okay, what is that? When a bird, a vulture, wants to attack a pigeon, you know what the pigeon does? It closes its eyes. And it feels extreme comfort. But is this true comfort? No. It's death. It's certain death for this pigeon. Why? Come on, you're being attacked. You are in the danger zone, but you close your eyes and think that, no, I'm fine, I'm safe. No, you're not safe. If not now, after a few seconds, this comfort is going to end. And then a lot of discomfort is going to begin. So I need to identify those wrong comfort zones in my life. And for the sake of Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, and for this barakat, and for the sake of these 10 nights, I try to change myself a bit. And believe me, it's very easy to switch from one comfort zone to another comfort zone. Do you think those people who are religious, who are pious, who don't commit sins, they'll go through a lot of pressure and they're always in stress? No. They're used to living a life free of sins. They are also comfortable. They are also enjoying their life. The only difference is that they have decided to choose the right comfort zones, the halal comfort zones for themselves. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Aur ek bada dars Karbala ka yahi hai. کہ جو امام حسین علیہ السلام نے جو درس ہمیں دیا ہے وہ یہ کہ انسان خدا کے خاطر اپنے کمفرٹ اور اپنے کمفرٹ زون کو ترک کرے. دیکھیں امام حسین علیہ السلام کی زندگی میں کوئی برا کمفرٹ زون نہیں ہے, ممکن نہیں ہے, وہ معصوم ہے. تمام کام جو امام حسین علیہ السلام انجام دیتے ہیں وہ सदर सद 100% सही है। और अगर इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम चाहते तो बहुत ही कंफर्ट की जिंदगी बसर कर सकते, सब उनका एहतराम करते, बस एक चीज उनसे मांगी गई दे देते। उनसे कहा गया कि आप यजीद के हाथ पर बैअत कर ले, कोई आपको परेशान नहीं करेगा, आपका एहतराम होगा, नवासे रसूल है। लेकिन इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम इस बात के लिए राजी नहीं थे, उन्होंने अपना कंफर्ट छोड़ा मदीना की जिंदगी, अपना कंफर्ट छोड़ा ताकि जो अपनी जिम्मेदारी है, जो सही चीज है, उसे अंजाम दे सके। और ना सिर्फ इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम ने अपना कंफर्ट छोड़ा, तमाम वो लोग जो हुसैन से आकर मिल गए, तमाम कंफर्ट्स को, तमाम दुनिया की लज्जतों को, तमाम दुनिया की रंगीनियों को छोड़कर हुसैन के पास आ गए। देखिए, जब इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम मक्का से निकले हैं तो उन्होंने तमाम लोगों को जमा किया जो अब तक उनके साथ है। इसके बाद बहुत सारे हवादिस पेश आए हैं, बहुत सारे लोग मक्का से जब ये काफिला करबला की तरफ निकला है, बहुत सारे लोग इस काफिले से जुदा हुए हैं, बहुत सारे लोग काफिले से आके मिले हैं, ये सब हुआ है। जब मक्का से निकल रहे हैं, तमाम लोगों को जमा किया और कहा, मन काना बादलन फीना मुहजतहु وَمُوَطِّنًا عَلَى لِكَاءِ اللَّهِ نَفْسَهُ فَلْيَرْحَلْ مَعَنَا, کہا کہ کون میرے ساتھ چلے, وہی انسان میرے ساتھ چلے جو حاضر ہے اپنا خون جگر ہمارے راہ میں دے دے, اپنی پوری ہستی, اپنا پورا وجود, اپنے تمام کمفرٹس کو ترک کر کے قربانی دینے کے لیے جو حاضر ہے وہ آ جائے. मुवत्तिनन अला लिका इल्लाही नफ्स, जो अल्लाह से मुलाकात के लिए बिल्कुल तैयार है वो मेरे साथ है। 6 मुहर्रम की रात है, बस चंद जुमले मसाइब के और आपकी जहमत तमाम। अस्सलामु अलैका या अबा अब्दुल्लाह, السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله, السلام عليك يا رحمة الله الواسعة, السلام عليك يا باب نجاة الأمة. آئے دیکھے کربلا میں کون کون حسین سے آ کر مل گئے, اس کے پہلے کہ اون اور محمد کے مصائب آپ کی خدمت میں پیش کیے جائے, وہب کا تذکرہ کرنا چاہتا. کون ہے وہب؟ رسول اللہ, امام حسین مکہ سے نکلتے ہیں اور کربلا کی طرف جا رہے ہیں. ایک مقام آیا جس کا میں نے پہلے بھی ذکر کیا تھا, جس کا نام تھا ثعلبیہ, جہاں پر امام حسین علیہ السلام کو خبر دی گئی تھی کہ مسلم شہید ہو گئے. اسی جگہ پر امام حسین جب پہنچتے ہیں تو دیکھتے ہیں کہ ایک وہاں پہ گھر بنا ہوا ہے, پرانا سا گھر. اس گھر کے اندر جاتے ہیں تو دیکھتے ہیں کہ ایک بوڑھیا, ایک بوڑھی عورت وہاں پر رہ رہی ہے. یہ بوڑھی عورت مسیحی ہے, کرسچن ہے. امام حسین نے پوچھا کہ تم کون ہو, تو اس نے اپنا تعارف کروایا, اپنا نام بتایا اور کہا کہ میں اپنے بیٹے وہب اور اس کی زوجہ کے ساتھ یہاں پہ اپنی زندگی بسر کر رہی ہوں. ابھی ابھی وہب کی شادی ہوئی ہے چند دن پہلے, اور میں اپنے بیٹے اور بہو کے ساتھ یہاں زندگی کر رہی ہوں. امام نے پوچھا کہ یہاں کوئی پریشانی تو تمہیں نہیں ہے, کسی چیز کی کمی تو نہیں ہے؟ دیکھیں, امام ہدایت ہے, بہانہ ڈھونڈ رہے ہیں کہ کس طرح اس مسیحی کی ہدایت کرے. اس بڑھیا نے کہا کہ کوئی زیادہ مشکل نہیں ہے, بس پانی یہاں پر مشکل سے میسر ہوتا ہے. امام حسین نے اسی مکان پر رکھا ہوا ایک پتھر اٹھایا, ایک ٹھنڈے پانی کا چشمہ وہاں سے جاری ہوا. تعجب نہ کرے, یہ حسین ہے. انسان ہرگز تعجب نہ کرے کہ یہ کیسے ممکن ہے، نہ یہ حسین ہے، یہ تو کچھ بھی نہیں ہے حسین کے. ایک تھنڈے اور گوارا پانی کا چشمہ جاری ہوا، اس کو دیکھ کر وہ بڑھیا بہت خوش ہوئی. امام حسین نے کہا کہ جب تمہارا بیٹا وہب اس وقت وہاں پر نہیں تھے، اس بڑھیا سے کہا کہ جب وہب واپس آ جائے تو اس سے کہنا کہ حسین ابن فاطمہ بنت محمد کا گزر یہاں سے ہوا، اپنا تعارف کروائے، اور کہا کہ اس سے کہنا کہ حسین بہت غریب ہے، کربلا کی طرف جا رہا ہے، اگر چاہتے ہو تو اپنے آپ کو حسین تک پہنچا. اور حسین نکل پڑے. جب وہب واپس آئے، یہ منظر دیکھا، ماجرا پوچھا اپنی والدہ سے، والدہ نے بتایا کہ ایک شخص آیا تھا بہت ہی مہربان، اور جس نے یہ عظیم نعمت ہمیں دی ہے، ٹھنڈا پانی، گوارا پانی، لیکن اس نے ایک پیغام تمہارے لیے دیا. اس پیغام کو بتایا گیا. جیسے وہب نے یہ پیغام سنا تو کہا میں حسین کے پاس جا رہا. یہ تینوں، وہب، اپنی زوجہ، اپنی والدہ کے ساتھ اسی وقت اس جگہ کو ترک کرتے، اپنا سامان باندھتے اور اپنے آپ کو امام حسین علیہ السلام تک پہنچاتے. اور کربلا کے شہداء میں سے ایک شہید ہے وہب، کہ جب میدان جنگ میں جاتے ہیں اور جنگ کر کر واپس آتے ہیں اور اپنے والدہ سے کہتے ہیں ارضیت، کیا تم راضی ہو گئی کہ میں نے امام حسین کی نصرت کی اور امام حسین کے لیے جنگ کی؟ اس ماں نے جواب دیا، کہا لم ارضا حتی تقتل فی سبیل الحسین، کہ میں اس وقت تک راضی نہیں ہوں گی جب تک تم اپنی شہادت امام حسین کے لیے پیش نہ کر دو. دیکھیں یہ ہے ماں کا کردار کربلا میں. بہت عجیب مائیں کربلا میں موجود ہیں. ایک طرف ام البنین ہے جس نے اپنے چار بیٹوں کو بھیجا حسین کے لیے، اور کون سے بیٹے؟ ان بیٹوں میں عباس ہے، عباس رباب، ام فروہ. تمام کربلا کی ماؤں پر سلام ہو ہمارا کہ عظیم کردار ادا کیا کربلا میں ان ماؤں نے، کہ اپنے بچوں کو تیار کیا، اپنے بچوں کی اس طرح سے تربیت کی کہ وہ حسین کے لیے جا کر اپنی جانیں قربان کر سکے. آئے اس رات میں، اس عزا کے مہینے کی چھٹی رات ہے، عزاداروں وقت بس ختم ہوتا جا رہا ہے، دیکھتے ہی دیکھتے شب عاشور آ جائے گی. آئے آج زینب کا تذکرہ کرے اور ان دو ننھے بچوں کا، اون محمد کا تذکرہ. کون ہے زینب؟ زینب کے مختلف القاب ہیں. زینب کا ایک نام ہے اکیلۃ بنی ہاشم، اکیلا یہ بنی ہاشم ہے. ایک اور نام ہے بی بی زینب کا سفیر حسین، کہ بی بی زینب نے اس پیغام کو امام حسین کی شہادت کے بعد تمام دنیا تک پہنچائے. اور ایک اور نام ہے بی بی کا ام المصائب. تمام مصائب کو بی بی نے جھیلنا ہے، تمام مصائب کو جھیلنا ہے. میرا سلام ہو ان شہداء پر جنہوں نے اپنی جانیں دے کر بی بی کے حرم کا دفاع کیا. آج بھی بی بی کا حرم غربت کی حالت، زائرین آسانی سے نہیں پہنچ سکتے، لیکن میرا سلام ہو ان شہداء مدافع حرم پر جنہوں نے اپنی جانوں کی قربانی دے کر اس حرم کو آج بچایا ہے. وگرنہ دشمن کا منصوبہ یہ تھا کہ اس حرم کو نیست و نابود کر دیا جائے. آپ جانتے ہیں یہ جو لوگ جاتے تھے اور اپنی شہادتیں پیش کرتے تھے تاکہ بی بی کے حرم کا دفاع ہو سکے, ان کا شعار کیا تھا, سلوگن کیا تھا؟ ان تمام لوگوں کا شعار یہ تھا, کلنا عباسک یا زینب. یہ تمام لوگ بی بی زینب سے کہہ رہے کہ آج آپ کے دفاع کے لیے ایک عباس نہیں ہے, ہزاروں عباس آج آمادہ, ہزاروں عباس کے غلام آج آمادہ ہے. کلنا عباسک یا زینب. ہاں زادارو, بی بی کا ایک اور نام ہے اور وہ ہے شریکت الحسین. بی بی اور امام حسین کا بڑا عجیب رابطہ ہے. بعض ارباب مقاتل نے اور تاریخ کی کتابوں نے یہ کہا ہے کہ ایک خاص رابطہ تھا بی بی کا اور امام حسین علیہ السلام, کہ جب عبداللہ ابن جعفر سے شادی ہوئی تو یہ شرط کر دی گئی, بی بی نے یہ شرط کی کہ اگر حسین پر کوئی مشکل وقت آ جائے اور حسین کا ساتھ دینے والا کوئی نہ ہو تو مجھے اجازت دینا کہ میں حسین کے ساتھ چلی جاؤں. کیوں؟ کیونکہ شریکت الحسین ہے, حسین کے بغیر زینب زندہ نہیں رہ سکتی. ہاں زینب مدینہ سے حسین کے ساتھ ہے, ایک لمحہ اپنے بھیا کا ساتھ نہیں چھوڑا, اپنے دو ننھے بچوں کو اون محمد کو بھی ساتھ لے لیا. ہاں عزادار, بڑا عجیب واقعہ پیش آتا ہے شب عاشور کو. شب عاشور کو تمام اصحاب نے, امام حسین نے رات کا اکثر وقت عبادت میں گزارا. یہ کیفیت تھی عبادت کی کہ دشمن کا راوی لکھتا ہے لہم دویون کا دوی نحل, جب میں حسین کے خیموں سے کے نزدیک سے گزرا تو ایسی آوازیں آ رہی تھی کہ جس طرح مکھیاں کچھ گنگنا رہی ہے. یہ ہے اصحاب حسین جو خدا کی بارگاہ میں عبادت تھے. لیکن عزادارو, رات کا ایک وقت آیا کہ اس رات میں بہت سارے واقعات پیش آئے. رات میں ایک ایسا وقت آیا کہ حسین خیموں کے درمیان ٹہل رہے, خیموں کے درمیان ٹہل رہے, زینب کے خیمے کے پاس آتے ہیں اور باہر جب پہنچتے ہیں تو متوجہ ہوتے ہیں کہ بی بی زینب اون محمد کے ساتھ گفتگو کر رہی. دیکھیں ایک ماں اپنے بچوں سے کیا باتیں کر رہی ہے. بی بی زینب نے اون محمد سے کہا کہ اے میرے بیٹے اون, اے میرے بیٹے محمد, تمہارے دادا جعفر تیار ہے, تمہارے نانا علی ہے, کل جب جنگ کا وقت ہوگا تو پوری شجاعت کے ساتھ حسین کے لیے اپنی جان کو قربان کر. جب ان جملوں کو بی بی اپنے بچوں سے کہہ رہی ہے تو ان دو ننھے ننھے سے بچوں نے جواب دیا, کہا کہ اما جان ہم تو مشتاق ہیں اپنی شہادت پیش کرنے کے لیے, لیکن اجازت آپ لے کے دیجیے گا حسین سے. کہ جب عاشور کا دن آیا, بڑے عجیب منظر پیش آئے کہ جب تمام اصحاب شہید ہو گئے اور جب اہل بیت کے شہادت کا وقت آیا تو سب سے پہلے علی اکبر پہنچے امام حسین کے پاس اجازت مانگنے کے لیے. سب سے پہلے اپنے فرزند کی قربانی دی. شاید امام حسین اس آیت پر عمل کر رہے تھے, لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون, ہرگز تم خیر تک نہیں پہنچ سکتے جب تک کہ اپنی سب سے پسندیدہ چیز کو خدا کی راہ میں قربان نہ کر دو. جیسے ہی جناب علی اکبر پہنچے فوراً اجازت دے دی. لیکن ہائے, علی اکبر کے بعد جو بھی اجازت مانگنے آتا امام حسین ٹال دیتے. تاریخ نے لکھا ہے کہ اون محمد نے بہت کوشش کی کہ امام حسین سے اجازت لے, لیکن امام حسین مختلف بہانے بناتے اجازت نہیں دیتے. ہاں ان بچوں کو اجازت نہیں مل رہی ہے. قاسم کا لاشا خیموئی کی طرف آیا, بی بی زینب نے جب قاسم کا لاشا دیکھا تو قاسم کے لاشے پر گریا کیا. ہاں اور اپنے اون محمد سے کہا کہ ہائے قاسم بھی شہید ہو گئے, وہ وقت آ گیا ہے کہ تم بھی اپنی قربانی پیش کرو. ان ننھے ننھے سے بچوں نے جواب دیا, 9 سال کی عمر ہے, 11 سال کی عمر ہے, کہا کہ ہم تو چاہتے ہیں حسین پر جان قربان کرے لیکن آقا حسین اجازت نہیں دے رہے ہیں. اجرکم اللہ. ہاں ایک وقت وہ آیا کہ خود بی بی زینب نے اپنے دونوں ہاتھوں سے ان بچوں کو تیار کیا, تلوار کو کمر سے باندھا. ہاں یہ چھوٹے چھوٹے بچے جب چل رہے تھے تو تلوار کربلا کی گرم زمین پر کھچتی جا رہی تھی. ان خوبصورت بچوں کو حسین کے سامنے لایا, جیسے ہی آقا حسین نے دیکھا سمجھ گئے کہ اجازت اس نے جنگ مانگنے کے لیے بی بی آئی ہے, منع نہ کر سکے, اجازت ملی. اور آزادارو تاریخ نے یہ جملہ لکھا ہے کہ اتنے کم سن یہ بچے تھے کہ خود گھوڑے پر بھی سوار نہیں. تاریخ نے یہ جملہ لکھا ہے کہ اون کو حسین نے سوار کیا, محمد کو عباس نے سوار کیا. آئے دو چاند کے ٹکڑے لشکر کی مقابلے میں پہنچتے, آپ تصور کرے کتنی جنگ کر پاتے یہ بچے. آئے وقت آیا, دشمن نے چاروں طرف سے گھیر لیا, حملہ شروع کیا. آئے دو بچے زمین پر گرے, امام حسین پہنچے, بنی ہاشم کو کہا کہ عباس آؤ ان لاشوں کو اٹھا کر خیموں کی طرف لے جاؤ. آزادارو جب ان لاشوں کو خیموں کی طرف لایا گیا, جب بھی کسی شہید کا لاشا آتا, جب بھی علی اکبر کا لاشا آیا, زینب آئی, زینب نے گریہ کیا, زینب نے ماتم کیا. قاسم کا لاشا آیا, زینب نے ماتم کیا. لیکن اے جوان محمد کا لاشا آیا, زینب نہیں آئی. دیکھا کہ زینب اپنے خیمے میں ہے, خدا کی بارگاہ میں اپنے ہاتھوں کو بلند کیا ہے اور دعا کر رہی ہے, ربنا تقبل منا هذا القربان. اجرکم اللہ. اور آزادارو اس کے بعد بھی کسی تاریخ نے نہیں لکھا ہے کہ اون محمد کے لیے بی بی نے گریہ کیا ہوگا, اپنے بچوں کے لیے گریہ نہیں کیا. جب بھی کوئی مصیبت کا وقت آیا, کہا واہ حسین, حسین کو یاد کرتی تھی. جب 11 محرم کو اس قافلے کو مقتل سے گزارا گیا, اون محمد کو یاد نہیں کیا. کسی تاریخ نے نہیں لکھا ہے, اپنے آپ کو حسین کے بدن پہ گرا دیا اور فریاد بلند کی, واہ حسینا ھذا حسین مرمل بالدماء. یہ حسین ہے جو اپنے خون میں لت پت ہے. سیعلم الذین ظلموا ای منقلب ینقلبون. انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون.